Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you joined me this evening. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend, and I hope everybody has a great week as well. When we ended last Friday, we talked a little bit about Izzy Kalman, the gentleman who talked at length, and I read a very long letter from one of his parents that tried his technique. And his technique was all about turning the tables on the bully. The name of his website is www.bulliestobuddies.com. He has some wonderful stories on his site. He also has some videos, and he has some pamphlets and some information workbooks that he doesn't charge any money for everything. Some things there's a charge for, but the workbooks I think he'll give out to schools. I have a call into him in the hopes that I'm going to get an opportunity to chat with him. Now, what I did, because he talks about Mr. Oveus as well, the one that we talked about previously, the one who feels that there needs to be strict ground rules and that people need to be trained in regard to how to handle situations. And one of the things that I liked about what he said, if you'll recall, that I felt pretty strongly about, was that he expected the leaders, the parents, the teachers, the caregivers, to make sure that they understood what happened, to be more observant, to be aware of what's going on around the children in question or the people in question. I felt very strongly about that. I still do, even though I think Izzy Kalman's technique is awesome, and I do believe that it could actually help change the whole world if people could adapt to it. But I also think there's something to be said for some rules and some guidelines, and like I said, paying attention to what's going on. We talked about at length on several different occasions about your truth, my truth, and the truth. And of course, if you're the person that's in charge of a group of kids, of your family, in your workplace, maybe you're the supervisor of 25 people that work under you. You have got to be aware of what's going on with the people that you're supervising. If you just take at face value everything that's reported to you, don't research it. Don't ask anybody any questions. Don't bring anybody in and have a discussion with all the people involved. What's going to happen? Well, in no time at all, for one thing, you won't have any workers, because you can't deal with it like that. You've got to bring people in. People have to know that you are listening to everyone's stuff, everyone's problems, what's going on for each and every person. Otherwise, it's not fair. And of course, with all the words that we talk about, like judgmentality and being unkind and being prejudiced and all of those words, another word that's one of my favorites is fair. Being fair is incredibly important when you're talking about people that you stand beside every day. So again, if you can teach people to, the minute somebody attacks them, to turn it around and not react to the comment, but instead give back something positive, you could really change the world. Imagine. Imagine if when we watch the debates, when it's time for our elections, for office to run the world. Imagine if instead of just continually finding fault in the other person or judging the other person's mistakes or arguing about the way the other person feels about things, imagine if you made friends first. Just think about that. Just think about the difference you could make if that's where you went before you went to being, first of all, angry, second of all, hurt, and third of all, defensive. Imagine how much nicer things would be just for you. Now, one of the things that Izzy Kalman says is that you have to develop the wisdom in others. Now, who doesn't want to do that? I mean, who doesn't want to think that in particular you can teach your own children to have more wisdom about the decisions that they make and the conversations that they have and the contracts that they sign and the relationships that they get involved in? Wisdom's a great thing. Wisdom doesn't, by the way, in my book, mean book smart. It means something that guides you through personalities and situations and scenarios of everyday life and handle it well. So what I've come to understand with all the research I've been doing, and I intend to continue that because I cannot believe how many things I've learned in the last 2 months. But the rules that seem to be unanimous in almost everything I read and almost every time there's any kind of a success story. Number one is to communicate and listen to your child. Now, you can make that number one fit your situation, your scenario. Listen to your staff. Listen to the people that you're on a team with. Listen to the guys that you bowl with, that you play football with. Give everybody the opportunity to speak their mind and hear them. Number two, get involved. Don't stand on the sideline, pass judgment, and form an opinion of something that you didn't get involved in. If you're not involved, you don't have the right to have an opinion about something. Number three, observe the situation to learn the whole story. Again, if you're in the position where people and ask you questions and want to know what it is, you know, what it is you're going to do for them, you have to know everything about what's going on. You have to know the full story. Number four, become the leader you want your child to grow into. Lead by example. If your kid sees you flick off every person that crowds you off the road, if your kid watches you fight with your significant other every night over nothing, if your kid sees you behave in a certain manner, more than likely, that child is going to mimic you. They're going to do everything you do. So when all of a sudden you turn around and you think, oh my God, where did he get that from? You're blown away by the fact that he got it from you. A quick story. I have four children. I think I've mentioned that. My youngest son was playing with his cars. I was hanging up clothes. This was many years ago, back when I still hung up clothes. And he's got all of his cars lined up on the patio. And he pushes one car, and the other car falls off the side of the patio, and I hear this little voice. He's about two. Oh, Jesus Christ. And I went, my God, what did you say, honey? He said, oh, I pushed my car off, Mommy. And I said, oh, Jesus Christ. I thought, oh, my Lord, why is he saying that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because that was something I said. And he was mimicking me, and I was devastated. So believe me, they hear everything you say, and they do lots of things that you do. Number five, respect one another. It costs you nothing. It's very easy to do. And it all comes with not being judgmental, not thinking you know more than someone else, and not thinking you know a better way than someone else knows. Respect. Mutual respect. We all deserve it. Yes, you have to earn it. But along with earning it, you have to freely give it. So all those things, in everything I've looked at, in every article that I've read, in one way or another, say all of these things. So I'm going to open up for Miss Shelley to come in and talk to us tonight. She's been patiently waiting. Hi, honey.
Hey. Hi, Reen.
How are you?
I'm doing real good.
And that's good.
Better and better. And you and I are still coughing a little bit. Good grief.
Yeah.
Well,
it seems to be worse when I'm trying to talk too much. If I'm not talking, it stays pretty calm. But when I'm doing a lot of talking, it does get kind of...
So you must be coughing quite a lot then. You there? Did I lose you?
Am I back live?
Hello.
Hi, I'm back on, right?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I can hear you. My house phone just went plooey, just went off.
Oh, geez.
And then it wouldn't let me dial in on another phone in the house because the other one, I don't know what happened. It must have a loose connection in it or something. I apologize, everyone.
Okay, I was just like listening. I was hoping that it wasn't my phone.
No, it wasn't yours. It just went dead. The screen went dark, and then when I tried to call in with another phone, it said it was busy. So I had to, like, unplug that phone and go to another extension here in the house and use it, and then it finally went through for me. That's weird.
Okay,
that's never happened before. For those of you listening out there, I know you're not all in Florida, but we have... Even though we've had better weather than a lot of the world, our interference for wireless and communication, like phones and even televisions, you know, like your cable televisions and everything, the connections have been terrible the last few days.
Yep.
So I don't know what's going on, but I hope it gets over soon. It's very frustrating. As much as... we hate some of this technology. We get pretty used to having it work right.
I know. I remember when cell phones first came out, I was one of the last people to ever get one. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, why do you need to walk around with a cell phone? And now it's like it's with me everywhere. We just get so used to having the technology at our fingertips, and then when it doesn't work, you forget what it was like when you didn't even have one.
I know, it's so true, isn't it? I think about that too. The other day I went to the grocery store and forgot my cell phone, and here I am in the grocery store, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't bring my phone. It was like I was panicking. Because I didn't have my phone in case I wanted to call somebody and see if we needed this or see if we needed that. And I laughed at myself and I thought, well, in the old days, I just would have had to come back to the store later.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'm going to do this time, you know. So you heard everything that I said, and I have put in a call to Izzy Kalman.
Oh, great.
And I did look at his website. Yep. And he does have a lot of stuff going on. So I hope he will give us a call back and eventually talk to us. I'm going to bring, we have a caller that's been trying to get in. I want to bring them in. Hello, this is Renee.
Hi, Renee. It's Aunt Kelly. How are you?
I'm good, Kelly. How are you?
I am fantastic.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. Shelley is on with us. We've been talking about these couple gentlemen that I've been researching that have got techniques about bullying. And it's really very interesting because I read a whole bunch of letters on the second site. All he wants you to do is turn the tables on the bully and make them your friend. And all these people wrote in letters that it has really helped them and worked for them.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That is
and
amazing.
And I really believe,
good.
Yeah, I really believe that that could make the whole world a nicer place if we could really practice that and do that in a lot of different scenarios.
Speaking of,
mm-hmm.
if you don't mind me interrupting.
Okay.
Remember our little conversation out there at the park?
Yes.
And we talked?
Yes.
Okay, I did it. I finally left.
I got tired
of being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of the verbal abuse every single night. As the tears are running down my face right now, my son just left mm-hmm. my new little apartment that I got. I have never been so happy before in my life after 29 years.
Wow. Well, I think you should, if it's okay with you, explain to everybody. Explain, because a lot of people will relate, Kelly.
Okay. I have been married for 29 years. It's not like I don't love my husband. I do. There's been a lot of verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to begin. All I know is that he has disowned both of my sons. My oldest is not his biological. I don't want to repeat what she said to him. But that was a straw for me last year around Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend. And I knew that right then that my marriage was going to be over. And then it was fight after fight. And just the constant cutting me down all the time, making me feel bad about myself, cutting my kids down, blah, blah, blah. And 2 weeks ago, we got into a major argument. He was drinking. He did not hit me physically. But yes, he did grab me. He did shove me all around the house. I must have hit every wall and every tile on that floor. And the next day, he left to go to his mother's house. And while he was gone for those 3 days, I packed up that brand new couch I just bought. That has 42-inch TV that I won. I packed up half of the dishes. I took the salt, the pepper, the mayonnaise, the mustard, the ketchup, the last roll of toilet paper, the last roll of bar soap. Got myself a studio apartment. And I am happy for the first time in 29 years, in a long time. I was happy in the beginning, yes, but the last
uh-huh.
7 years have been hell. They have been hell. So bullying goes in a lot of different ways. Words hurt. You don't have to necessarily physically harm somebody. Words you cannot take back. And I have freedom. And as I'm saying that to you, Reedy, we talked that day
mm-hmm.
at the park.
Yeah.
I am so happy. I can't even imagine. I should have done this 7 years ago. I've put
mm-hmm.
it off every time I would come up with a different excuse. I can't leave because of this. I can't leave because of this. And then it came down to my dog, Bella, that I got, who's only a year old. Well, where I moved to, I can't take her because there's no fenced-in yard, and she likes to be in a fenced-in yard.
Mm-hmm.
So I do go and I visit her every day when I know that he is not at home, and I might spend 5 or 10 minutes with her, but then I get to come home to peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
No fighting, no nothing, and it's a beautiful thing. I have, like, a whole new life. I'm 48 years old. I've never lived on my own before. When I left his bedroom 7 years ago. I thought that switching bedrooms would be like me having my own place. But no, I still had to clean. I still had to do the dishes. I still had to do this and this and this. Now it's all about me. And it's
I congratulate you. I congratulate you, and I'm very, very proud of you. And what you've really done is you've empowered Kelly.
Me too.
Yes, you've empowered Kelly. You've taken your own identity back. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have, because he was killing me inside.
Yes. You can't live like that, honey. You cannot live like that.
No, I should have done this many, many years ago.
Yep. Well,
and
I think
that I could do it, but I can.
Yes, and that's a good thing for some there anywhere in the world. There could be somebody that's going through the same thing right now, and they're thinking the same thing that you thought all those years. And the truth of the matter is, we are so much stronger than we ever give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, I didn't think, for those who are out there who might be listening, I have that $400 summer payment.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't his name, and he's threatening, oh, I'll take it away. No, you can't take it away, because what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not asking for divorce right now. All I'm asking for is my space. Just leave me alone, and he doesn't even know where I live at, and I'm only right down the street, and he hasn't found me. So, and my apartment, Weenie, is so cute. It's a little studio, and... Oh, my God. I have my own little kitchen, my own little sink. I don't have to clean up after anybody. I don't have to do anybody else's laundry. I don't have to say, well, can you pick up your dirty clothes?
Mm-hmm.
OMG, what the hell I have been missing out. And it's only been 2 weeks, and I'm loving it.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you're happy. I felt so bad that day at the park because I could just feel how hurt you were and how torn about making the right decision. But, you know...
I have a lot of support.
Well, and nothing's set in stone either, Kelly. You know how we get so afraid to make a decision because we're so... It's almost like we think
scared.
That once we make the decision, then, you know, then everything changes, and it's scary. It's really scary.
I'm very scared. I'm thinking, okay, I got a $400 truck payment. I got $650 for rent. I got my credit card bill. I have my phone bill, and then I have gas, and then I have food. My utilities are included. But I'm like, I calculated it all, and I have learned in these last 2 weeks that I can put so much money aside every day that I'm making tips, because I'm a waitress, you know that, and I could do it. I should have done this a long time ago. And my mother has brought me up to be very, very strong, and I'm very proud of my mother for that. And... like I said, I have so much support. I mean, everybody in my family, all of my neighbors are very happy. It's the best thing you could have done, but yet we still hear him screaming and yelling at nobody because he has nobody else to yell at.
Yeah.
But now I just, friends and family, and you put it out there to people, and you'd be surprised if you keep things inside of you like a lot of people do. People don't know that you really like hurting deep inside, and you put on that front that you're A-okay when really you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I really haven't been for a long time. I opened up to you a couple of weeks ago, and that, believe it or not, Rini, you were what changed it.
Wow. Well,
what you said to me that day out there at that park was, you told me, and I won't forget the words, you were strong, you're an individual, you can do whatever it is you want to do. Those were the words you told me.
Yep, and it's true.
And those are the words, Rini, that I took home with me that day.
Good.
So I thank you, and God bless you for that.
Well, you are so welcome, and I'm glad it helped. And you are.
I'm sorry, I'm crying.
I want to tell a little bit of a story about when I first met Kelly. I had kind of seen Kelly around through the years and everything, and then she became friends with my son and my daughter-in-law. And then when all that stuff happened with Michael, she was one of those people, A lot of people stepped up to the plate, don't get me wrong, and we're grateful to many, many, many thousands of people, literally. But this lady took it upon herself to go to Valerie's home and to take Valerie's mom, who suffers from Alzheimer's and who is, to say the least, a very difficult-to-handle elderly lady, who was kind of like... she wasn't as sick as she is now then. This was 3.5 years ago. But the dementia and the confusion and everything was coming in. She would go over every day after working on her feet all day, bathe this lady, clean her up, call Valerie and tell Valerie that her mother was okay. I mean, how awesome can a friend be? How awesome can a friend be to do that? She's not a trained nurse. It was wonderful. I mean, I remember when Valerie told me, she told me crying, she said, can you believe Kelly's going over there and cleaning up mom, and you know how mom can be and how mean she can be, and Kelly just laughs at it and takes care of her. So you're incredibly strong, honey. Very, very strong. In your heart and in your soul, you're strong, and that's where it counts.
Well, you know, one of the things I've seen, Rainey, is that the people that are the strongest also have the highest level of compassion.
Yeah.
It's almost like that kind of compassion where you could go and do that for somebody. I mean, that's very personal. And the fact that Kelly was compelled to do that and was able to do that for Valerie, that's where a lot of her strength comes from, is her level of compassion. It's also what probably made her wait a little bit too long before she looked for herself, because people that are very, very compassionate always want to fix everybody around them. That's part of the problem. So a lot of
put
times
themselves last. Yes.
Right. So they'll stay in situations when they're not good for them anymore, because they're trying to make it okay for the other people around them. And so it's very, very important, like, you know, what Kelly did. I admire you for that, Kelly, for making that realization.
Thank you, Kelly.
Because the bottom line is, you do have a compassionate heart, you contribute to other people, and so you need to take care of yourself so you can continue giving. So it's actually a very, very kind thing to do to get yourself in a better place, because you are such a compassionate person. So good for you.
Thank you.
Yes. I absolutely applaud you. And, you know, something else that goes along with that, it's a funny thing about people who give and give and give, and I have to, I kind of tutor myself on this a little bit as well. Giving is supposed to be joyous. Giving
Absolutely.
Is supposed to make you lighter in your heart, lighter in your head, make you have a feeling of joy. But when you're giving to someone who is not aware of the fact that you're giving to them because they are all wrapped up in whatever their demons are, sometimes you just have to step back, look at the picture, and walk away. Hard to do when you're a giver. But once it ceases to bring you joy, you have to realize that the giving is no longer working the way it's supposed to.
Well, I have been blessed. And I can tell you why. For 16 years, I have always found a family in need around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much money I had or what have you, I would look for a year there around the neighborhood, Rainey, where I used to live at, which you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm a lot closer than he thinks, and he don't know where I am. But I look for somebody who has small children. And every Christmas, I save all of my change, and I buy Christmas presents for kids, and they must have small, young children.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it again this year. This was my 16th year. And I knock on the door, which I don't know if they appreciate it, knocking on the door at 6 a.m. because I have to be to work at 6:30. But I knock on the door, and I always have either a turkey or ham and all the fixing and Christmas gifts for the children, whether I buy it
That's
at the dollar
That's
store
beautiful.
Or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know who I am. I just knock on the door. I put my little Santa hat on. I knock. and I tell them, Merry Christmas, God bless, and I walk away. For 16 years I've done this. I've never asked for anything. So when all of this has come down with me, I'm like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this truck payment? How am I going to afford the $650 studio apartment? How am I going to do it? And I was blessed with customers at my job when they heard that I did the move and they saw the bruises on me. They gave me money, and they just, like, snuck it in my hand. And I said, I can't accept this. And they said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Please take it. It's a gift from God. I'm going to cry now. I'm sorry. But what you guys are saying about giving and giving and giving, I do give all the time to everybody. I try to help everybody that I can instead of helping myself. For once in my life, I am helping me. So that morning that I got an extremely amount of gracious tips from customers, they sat there and they said, I made that prayer in the morning, God, please give me health, hope, and happiness, and please send money my way. Please send money my way. And I said that before I laid my head down that night, and I said it that morning, and He blessed me that next day. Unbelievable. I mean, I cried so much the next day. And I'm like, I can do this. There are people out there who do care. And one of them is a pastor, and his name is Pastor Alf Cole. He's from Margate, Church of God in Margate. I've been waiting on this man for 20-something years. And he's followed me from restaurant to restaurant. And he blessed me that day. And he's down in the best of health right now, where every day that I see him, I'm blessed to see him.
And let's remember something else. Let's remember something else about giving and the all the repercussions that come with giving are reciprocal. In other words, when you did what you did for the families, when you did what you did for Valerie and Michael with Jean, when you've done other things, when you've remembered that little old Gladys that lives down the street who comes to see you every day, you may be the only person that smiles at her and says hello to her every day. Little thing, but for that person, it was very, very special. So now, along with giving, that's right, but remember what you're doing for the other people by doing that. Because it's much harder to be on the receiving end than the giving end. So when you do it graciously and accept it with love and understand where it came from, you're also giving back a kindness to that person, just like people have given kindness back to you and joy back to you when you give. You see the circle that goes?
Oh, absolutely.
So
there's a little old lady there, the diner, she's 83 years old, and she calls me every Saturday night, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you save our table for us tomorrow on Sunday. I said, okay, Miss Mary, I will do that. You know? And are you okay? And make sure you get the house. she told me that the other day. I'm like, I'm not even going to that. But it's just, I love old people. I love people in general.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I've done it for 16 years helping people. And the gratification that I get from that is to knock on the door and say what I have to say, Merry Christmas, and walk away. They don't know who I am. They don't know where I came from.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
You know?
Yep.
And it's personal gratification, and hopefully it'll spread out to other people to be kind to other people.
Yeah, you're inspired.
Well, and it does.
That's my point.
It's what, Shell?
It's inspiring people to pay it forward.
That's
exactly.
Right.
You saw that movie? That movie is awesome.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I saw that movie on Christmas. And I sat there and I cried my eyes out. I'm like, worst movie to ever see on Christmas. But no, it is. It is. Pay it forward. Shelley is absolutely right. You pay it forward. Mm-hmm. You give kindness to other people, and maybe those people will catch on and start giving to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, stop with the meanness, stop with the bullying and everything else. There's so much hatred in this world.
Well, and who does it serve? I mean, who does it serve? Absolutely no one. And people struggle and suffer every day with unkindness. And
yes.
And
I did for the last 7 years of my life. And I'm happy.
Well, I'm very, very happy for you. I think that this is one of the nicest
Valerie
things.
Valerie said, Kelly, it's about darn time. My kids said, it's about darn time. My parents, everybody. So,
well, I'm happy for you too, and I think
I think
it'll just get better and better.
Wisdom that you gave me that day.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'm glad it helped. I thought about you the whole rest of that day, and then
I think about
5 days later, I said to Valerie, I said, "Have you talked to Kelly?" And she said, "No." And I said, "You better call her and check on her." And she did, and she said you were doing all right, but I figured that's what was going to happen, that you were going to move on, and I think that was the wisest thing for you to do. Because the truth of the matter is,
he's not
this long
mean,
invested.
He really isn't a mean, bad man. He really isn't. He's lost right now.
Uh-huh.
He's lost.
Let me ask you something.
Lost.
Do you think he was bullied when he was a child?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that for years. He was always bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
He was
because
always
what I've learned.
Down, beat up, everything else.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
What
and
I've learned
cycle.
With.
It's a
yeah.
cycle.
Yes,
so
it is.
So if you're going to be bullied, and to me, you don't have to be physically bullied. You can be verbally bullied.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Sometimes verbally is worse than.
That's what he has done. He has verbally abused. And it's totally, it's like the same thing, but I think verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse. I'd much rather somebody beat the crap out of me. The bruises will go away, but those words don't go away.
That's
you
true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They don't go away.
Well, that's like that old saying,
bullied.
Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Yep.
And I said to somebody one day, that's so untrue. So, so untrue.
Yeah.
Words hurt awful. And they ring in your ears forever if they hurt you real bad.
I can't get rid of the words. I have forgiven him with the strength of God. I have forgiven him, like I told you that day out there in the park. I have forgiven him for what he has said. I will not forget, but I have forgiven. Because in order for me to move on, I have to get rid of that anger out of myself and within myself.
That's right. That's right. That's very, very important.
I've gotten out of that. I've gotten rid of that anger, but I won't forget.
Mm-hmm.
I won't forget,
you know,
but I have forgiven him.
Go ahead, Shelley.
I had told Rini about this, but when I had been married many years ago, I mean, we're talking over 30 years ago, and my ex-husband, who 25 years later sought me out to apologize, and he and I are actually friends now, and we speak to each other. But while we were married, it was a very volatile marriage. He was verbally abusive, which he didn't come to terms with until many years after we divorced. But while we were married, I had actually said what you just said. I had actually said that to him one time. He wasn't physically abusive to me. But he was excessively verbally abusive. He would just, try to tear me down. I have I've talked about this on the show before, I have a very strong personality. He kept trying to break down. And I did suffer from depression for a few years while I was married to him, until one day I just woke up and I was like, enough is enough. Attitude. And I decided to leave him. But I did not leave him because I didn't love him. I never stopped loving him. I left him because I wasn't willing to put up with the constant verbal abuse. It's so unhealthy.
That's how I feel, Shelley.
It's so demoralizing. And as much as I missed him, because there was a part of him that I loved,
I know what you're talking about, that breath of fresh air, that sense of being in control of my life again, returns instantly.
That's exactly how I feel, Shelley.
The point I was making is that if he had ever been physically abusive to me, that was 100% unacceptable. I would have left him on the spot. But for some reason, verbal abuse, because it doesn't leave marks, because it's almost not quantifiable, people will put up with it for years and years and years and sometimes decades, where sometimes if somebody were physically abusive to them, they'd end it instantly, but they'll tolerate the verbal abuse much, much longer.
For years.
Because it's not quantifiable. And people need to understand.
That's what I was doing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was doing. He wasn't physical,
except for
2 weeks ago. So I understand what she's saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The point that
I totally understand what she's saying. Verbal. Yeah.
But they need to understand.
You tolerate
that
it. You put up with it. It's unacceptable.
Right.
Either way.
Right.
Unacceptable.
Right. But for people who are being verbally abusive, they need to understand that it's actually more damaging than being physically abusive. Because
absolutely.
People will put up with it longer, and it degrades them over a longer period of time.
That's the worst part, right there. The being degraded for that length of time, and then you start to believe that you deserve it. We had a man talk
like I said,
on.
I came up with reasons not to leave. Okay, I can't leave because I can't find a place to take the dog. Well, I'm sorry, the dog had to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
the dog, but the dog had to stay. And I just go and see her when he ain't there. But no. But go ahead.
But that's the whole idea. I mean, we had one of the regulars call one day, and he said he was bullied all of his life. And he said there were points in time that he actually would listen to the bullier and believe that it was possible that the bullier was right. And I said, I know, that's what happens. You almost get brainwashed into believing that you deserve that kind of treatment.
Well,
I
was
stuck
in a
hard
spot.
That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Can you imagine letting somebody talk you into believing that it's okay to abuse you?
Well, I put up with it for the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Honey, millions of women and men all over the world do the same thing.
And I'm like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. But when you don't know how good it felt when I took that mayonnaise and mustard and that ketchup and that last bar of soap and the last roll of toilet paper and the salt. And he came
you
home.
You remind me of the movie The Jerk. Every time he ran away from something, he'd have a roll of toilet paper and he'd say, "That's all I need."
Well, the cops were at my house like every few days. Because my son, who lived across the street, my youngest son, who just left, so here I am, broke, just said, "Mom, I need gas money for the rest of the week. Can I borrow $20? I know you're broke." I gave him $20.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Okay, I just paid my rent. I got half of my truck payment. I got my credit card. Okay, but you must give it back to me ASAP, which means Friday when you get paid." Because
mm-hmm.
he moved out across the street from where we lived at also.
Mm-hmm.
So he's free and clear of his father. I'm free and clear of his father. And we don't have to listen to the screaming and the yelling. And when he came over, he's like, "Wow, Mom, this is so nice, quiet, peaceful." And he's like, "Can I move in?" I said, "Hell no."
You
ain't moving in. No.
No, that's nice.
I'm enjoying this. But now, I mean, I even got a text from Bob, like 2 days later, I guess. He went to the grocery store. This is really funny. And he said, "Okay, just spent $100 at the grocery store to refurnish the house since you took everything. Please don't come and take anything else. I think you took enough." And then like an hour later, I guess he had planned on making himself some sloppy joes, which I don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And he texted me, "Really? The effing can opener?" said I texted him back, laughing my ass off. Hell yeah, well. I checked out that can of lights, and then I checked him, got the Dollar Tree, it's only a dollar.
Yeah, well, I think
he
not like you didn't give him enough
chances. Because
I've
never left like that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Randy,
yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, I think that you gave him enough chances.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think he knows that I'm serious now.
Yeah, I would think that this would prove it.
Like
to
I said,
him.
I'm not talking divorce right now. 29 years is a long time to be married to somebody. But
yes,
I need my space, and I need to be on my own. And I'm loving it.
No,
nobody
I'm
comes
glad.
Over. It's nice, peaceful, quiet. And I have so much support, like I said, so much support.
Are you working Easter Sunday?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Well, if you feel like driving out this way when you're done working, you're more than welcome.
All right, you guys are doing the party?
Well, I do, you know, all holidays I make a big meal.
Well,
and
I work
everybody's
until like
welcome.
Three, so.
Well,
I work
give us a
three.
Call if we're, you know, if you're up for it and you don't want to be by yourself, you can absolutely come on out for a while.
Thank you for that invitation.
You're
okay. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. Anytime.
Shelly,
you're welcome anytime.
You. Shelly,
she'll
you
probably stop by on that day. That would be an opportunity for her to say hi to Shelly.
Did I meet her out there at
the
park?
What day is that, Rudy?
Huh?
What day is Easter? What day is Easter?
Easter's
Sunday?
Always on Sunday, honey.
No, the date.
Next
this
Sunday.
Sunday.
This coming
up.
Sunday.
Oh, this coming Sunday.
Yeah,
yes,
this coming. Yeah, March 31st.
Okay, because I'll still be here then. I'm trying to think which weekend it is.
Yeah, you're still going to be here. You're still going to be here.
Okay.
She's going
cool.
abroad. The broad is going abroad.
You want
to
take me with you?
Yeah, I'll hide you in one
I'm
of my suitcases. I'm actually taking an extra suitcase so I can bring souvenirs back because it's the first time I'm ever going to Europe.
I can fit in a suitcase.
Yeah. There you go. Well, see, but you got to be very, very quiet going through customs.
Mom's
I can hear it all now on the TV. I can see the whole story.
Yeah.
Whole thing unfolds.
Shelly hit Kelly.
Funny.
It is funny. So, Rini,
yeah,
how are you doing, sweetie?
I'm good. I still have a little bit of a cold, and, of course, we're going through
dealing
all
with
else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
yes,
everything will be good. Everything will be good.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have faith.
And I think it's helped us a little bit with after doing this show, all the research I've done and the things we found out, we could be a lot more scared than what we are. So I think everything helps, you know. Mm-hmm. Everything you learn makes a difference in how you monitor yourself when you know, stuff that you've never gone through happens. It's helped me a lot. I've read so many things, and I think it's helped us with the show. Shelly and I have had some great conversations about some of the things that are going on out there. And it's not just about kids, obviously. It's about people of all ages, spouses, and siblings, and work scenarios, lots of work scenarios. there's a lot of bullying in the workplaces. And a lot of unkindness. And
yeah,
use the word bully because
weeks.
Everybody gets what bully means. But the truth of the matter is we have become very cold and calculating about our everyday life. And everything is about how it affects us instead of giving enough consideration to how it affects others. And I'm hoping that the more we talk about it and the more we discuss it and the more people that listen, the wiser we'll become on the whole, and we'll get to a place where we understand that that's not what it's about. It's not supposed to be dog eat dog. It's supposed to be everybody caring about everybody else. Doesn't mean you have
right.
to sleep together. Doesn't mean you have to pay my bills. Doesn't mean you have to do any of those things. What it does mean, though, is you have to give me common courtesy and mutual respect. And let me live my life and you live yours in some form of congeniality and love. And we just have to get there.
We know
one
of the things
who came up with that song.
Which song?
There was a peace, love, and happiness.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what song I've decided
remember
I
that?
Love?
Peace,
yes,
love,
I do remember that.
Happiness.
Mm-hmm. I like Michael Jackson's The Man in the Mirror. Because that's
oh,
what everybody
gosh,
needs
yeah.
to realize, you know.
Yeah.
It is up to the man in the mirror, and you've
yeah.
got to learn how to, you know, take responsibility for all your own mistakes and not lay the blame in other
on
people's backyard
yep.
just because you don't know what else to do with it.
Absolutely.
Right.
I agree 100%.
Yep. I think everybody does if they think about it. We just get caught up in the rat race and we do stupid things and we make poor decisions. And we're also, you know, there's a lot of talk about our egos, and our egos are pretty pretty strong in most of us. I know mine is very strong. I have a very big ego because I always think that I've tried my hardest and done my best, but it's not about that. It really isn't about that. It's
you've
about
so many people you don't even know.
Well, but,
you really
but it,
have.
It shouldn't make my ego bigger. It should make me be grateful and not just think about how I feel about something, but listen to how someone else feels about something. You have to be able to, you know, recognize
but
everybody's.
You do that,
Raina. I hope I try. I don't know that I'm always successful with that, but I do try to do that.
Generally,
but
when
I
you
think,
talk about ego, you're talking about when somebody is self-centered or self-consumed in
right.
an egotistical way. You know, usually when you say
Rainey's
somebody,
not like that.
You know, like, well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I don't think you have an ego. I think you have a healthy self-esteem. Ego and self-esteem are two different things, Raina. You have
yeah.
to have a healthy self-esteem. I have a healthy self-esteem. Okay, and that's
I
why
have
the reason why. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why we're able to you know, to do the things we do and to contribute the way we do. Ego
mm-hmm.
actually gets in the way of kindness. So people that operate through their ego generally are unhappy because the ego is false. It gets hurt over nothing. It gets irritable over nothing because it focuses inward instead of outward. When you can't
yep.
look at the world around you and put things in perspective, then everything is about you, and it's not. It's about
mm-hmm.
us. It's about us as a family, us as a community, us as
mm-hmm.
as a country, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's
that's where the bullying
start,
comes in
start,
from.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Those who are unhappy with themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you are unhappy with yourself, you're going to try and make somebody else unhappy also
right.
because you are miserable with yourself.
Right, and that's the ego, not self-esteem.
Yeah.
Self-esteem is healthy. Ego is not healthy. So you don't have an ego, Raina. You just have a good, healthy self-esteem, and you deserve
yes.
it.
Well, you know, I thank you, and I love you for that. But I do have an ego because my ego often gets in my way. And like you just said about your ego, your feelings get hurt, and you feel like you have to be defensive. That's when my
mm-hmm.
ego pops up. I feel like I'm always trying to do what is right, and when somebody finds some fault in me, my ego comes blaring across the sky like a north wind. And I know that about me, and it does, and it's true. And
yeah.
I
don't like when somebody tells me bad about me either.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
And it is hard. It is hard to get past when you
yeah.
when you feel. And I one good thing about it that I will say, and that is the fact that because I know that, it helps me talk to people a little bit better when I have to say something to somebody that I know is going to not set well with them because they're trying so hard. It's like when you have an employee or somebody that you're working with and you need to say something to them that's going to be hard for them to take. Because of my own ego and my own sensitivities, I do believe that I try harder than some other people to make sure that I make my point, but not make that person feel like I think that they're terrible, because that's never true. But sometimes you have to, you have to be able to say to somebody, listen to me, you're doing this, this, and this, and I know how hard you're trying, but it's not working. We need to rethink about how you're making this happen or how you're making that happen, so there aren't so many repercussions and you're hurting some people's feelings too. So there is a way to say it, but I think the only reason I know that is because the way I'm affected when it's done to me.
Right, right.
And I do believe that's your ego as well.
Kelly and Kelly are both saying right, guys.
Well, I'm excited about an event we're going to do. And Kelly, it would be great if you helped us with that. We're going to try to do an event. And I've been looking at the calendar, and I haven't even told Shelly this. I would love to do it the Saturday before Mother's Day. Because it would be
Saturday.
Okay, it's wait a minute, and I'll tell
you,
because I brought it up on my,
my little
journal.
My little rest thing.
Mother's Day is the 12th.
My truck payment too.
So it would be the 11th of May.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of work we have to do to pull this together.
I know, and you can do it.
My own son's birthday is May. Oh, my goodness.
Good grief.
My oldest son, Michael, who will be 32, his birthday. He's on Mother's Day this year. He's born May 12th.
My brother
years.
And sister were both May 10th, and Patty was born on Joey's birthday, which was Mother's Day the year she was born. So, but I think that it's significant, because who's the most affected? Let's be honest, who's the most affected when we have unkindness and bullying to the children? The moms, right?
Oh, sure, sure.
And I don't just mean women with children. I mean the women, period. But
right.
it's because we're more sensitive to it. We don't want to see a child get hurt. You know, the last two shows we've done have been since those two young boys walked up and tried to take the woman's money, and when she said she didn't have any because she spent all of her money on her baby, and they shot her baby. Do you know about that?
Oh, my gosh, yes. That was
no,
terrible.
I never heard
yes,
that
they,
story.
They went right around the side of the
Miami.
Stroller and shot their her baby right in the head.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
and I saw that on the news, and I swear to you, I didn't breathe for like 30 seconds and thought to myself, is this a joke? Is somebody doing something to be very unfunny? And then I finished watching it, and they really did that. And
oh
for me,
God.
You talk about desensitizing. It's gotten that bad. Well, we're down to no time, so I'm going to say goodnight.
Yes. What is the
and
benefit?
Say that again.
When is the benefit? You said the day before Mother's Day.
The 11th of May.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Should I call
the
Valerie?
The 11th of May. Say that again?
Okay, great.
Should I call Val and get the number? You have my number right now?
Yes, I have your number on my phone.
All right, then you call me back.
I will.
And you
I
let
will,
me know about
and...
the benefit, because I am off that day.
Okay.
I am off that day.
Your number
you
is...
you call me back? Don't say it over the line.
No, I got it.
It starts with 825.
Yep, I got it. It's
okay.
Right here in front of me.
You call
yep.
me back, Greeny, and you give me all the information about the benefit, and I will be there.
Okay.
I will do whatever it is
Beautiful.
I can do and see what it is I can do.
We'll have
beforehand
fun.
To
we'll
help
have fun
out, okay?
And maybe change some hearts and some minds. So from
Absolutely.
My heart to yours, everybody, Good night. God bless, and I love you all. Thank you, girls.
Kelly. Love you. Mm-hmm. And
good
love
night.
You too. Randy, call me. All right.
I will.
Care. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.